Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BMW Industries Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Oswal from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into Quarter 3 FY26 earnings conference call of BMW Industries Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Harsh Bansal, the Managing Director, Mr. Vikram Kapoor, the CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti, Investor Relations of Euritas Advisors. So, without any further delay, I will hand over the call to Mr. Sanjeev sir for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all the participants. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Harsh Bansal for the opening remarks, I would like to draw your attention to the Safe Harbor statement in the earnings presentation. I request each one of you to kindly go through the presentation now before the Q&A starts so that you are well aware of the same. Request you to go through the Safe Harbor statement very carefully. Over to you, Mr. Bansal.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for BMW Industries Limited's Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call. This quarter marks an important step forward for the company with tangible progress across our strategic initiatives and operating performance. We are pleased to share that our greenfield downstream steel complex at Bokaro is progressing well, and during the quarter, achieved financial closure by tying up 500 crores of long-term debt financing from a consortium led by the State Bank of India along with HDFC and Yes Bank. Reflecting strong lender confidence and a key inflection point as we transition from a largely conversion-based model to an integrated downstream steel processing business. Thank you. Turning to financial performance, operating income for Quarter 3 FY26 stood at 162.16 crores, growing 9.9% year-on-year and 11.9% quarter-on-quarter. Operating EBITDA for Q3 FY26 was 3,855 lakhs, up 6.8% Y-on-Y, with an operating EBITDA margin of 23.8%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 1,761 lakhs, reflecting a 16.3% quarter-on-quarter improvement. On a year-to-date basis, operating income for 9 months FY26 stood at 455.73 lakhs, with operating EBITDA of 106.90 lakhs and a margin of 23.5%. Our balance sheet remains strong and well-positioned to support the ongoing CapEx cycle. Net debt stood at 232.31 lakhs, with net debt to operating EBITDA at a comfortable 1.63x and net debt to equity at 0.3x, providing adequate financial headroom. As on 31st December 2025, ROCE stood at 10.1% and ROE at 8.5%, reflecting the ongoing capital deployment for the Bokaro Greenfield project and the transition phase ahead of commissioning. Operationally, our CRM segment witnessed a strong rebound, with dispatches increasing 18.1% sequentially, supported by improved offtake, firm pricing, and better demand conditions. In parallel, we continue to build out our proprietary downstream business and establish early-stage sales network, positioning us well for a smooth integration with the commencement of first-phase sales from Bokaro by early FY27. We reaffirm our medium-term growth guidance. Over the next 3 fiscals, we anticipate consolidated revenue to grow at a CAGR of approximately 75%, driven by the phased commissioning of Bokaro Greenfield project, as well as the organic growth in our existing business verticals. Operating EBITDA is expected to grow at a CAGR of 45% over the same period, with operating EBITDA margin stabilizing at around 11% by FY28 as we progressively integrate our new and existing business lines. It is important to contextualize our margin outlook within the evolution of our revenue model. Historically, our conversion-based business has delivered operating EBITDA margins in the mid-20s, largely due to minimal raw material exposure. As we transition to an integrated downstream processing model, our cost structure will naturally evolve. Steel inputs will now form a part of our cost base, with raw material cost comprising approximately 80% of revenue. Consequently, consolidating operating EBITDA margins will moderate as the legacy business blends with a more input-intensive model. However, this should not be viewed as a deterioration in performance, but rather reflects a conscious pivot towards scaling volumes, deepening value chain integration, getting closer to customers, and enhancing stakeholder value. We encourage investors to assess margin trends alongside absolute value creation. While margins may normalize, the top line is expected to expand materially, and profit after tax is projected to grow in the range of 35 to 40% CAGR over the next three fiscals, with PAT margins stabilizing at approximately 5% by FY28, resulting in a return on capital employed of 15% or more. With the greenfield expansion progressing as planned, we remain confident in our ability to enhance operating resilience, diversify our revenue base, and deliver sustainable long-term value to our stakeholders. With that, I will now open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bansal. My first question is on the revenues. Did the current quarter include any trading revenue? And if yes, so could you quantify the trading component and its margin profile versus the core manufacturing revenues?
Hi, Bhavesh. Welcome back. This is going to be a very short answer. No, it does not include trading revenue.
That's great. So we can see an increase of revenue this quarter. So going forward, we can expect the same same increase in the Q4?
Yes.
So with only the Q4 remaining in the financial year, do you believe that the full year revenue guidance is still achievable? Like specifically if we expect Q4 revenues to exceed 200 crores so that your guidance will be met?
I think we are well on track to do that, yeah.
Okay, so we can expect a good revenues in the Q4.
What you're trying to say is that will we achieve 200 crores Q4 revenue?
Because if you are given a revenue guidance of 15%, so is that achievable in the if we do 200 crores in the fourth quarter? Not a specific number, but at least that 15%.
Yeah. I was just coming to that. I'm not sure whether I can give you a specific number, but needless to say, I think the trajectory will continue.
Perfect. And sir, could you share the current unexecuted order book as of date and the expected execution timeline over the next 3 to 4 quarters?
Our order books are more time-based than specifically value-based. The values are more indicative than anything else. So the CRM contract remains for 5 years. The tube contract, as earlier indicated, remains for 3 years. And the extension in the TMT contract is for 12 months, which means till November 26. And the values which have been indicated earlier remain conservatively on track.
Understood. So coming to your contract part, so in your FY26 Q3 press release, you had mentioned the contract being in the final stages of the negotiations with a key customer with expectations of normalization in volumes. So could you update us on the current status of the contract and whether volumes have started stabilizing?
We are talking about the TMT contract, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, there was. I guess it was with the Tata Steel.
I mean, most of my contracts are with Tata Steel, so that is a kind of a given. But yes, the TMT contract has been renewed, and it's a 12-month contract for now. We are discussing longer-term options. And yes, the volumes have stabilized, albeit a little lower, but they have stabilized.
Okay. And sir, in this quarterly presentation, in one of the other segment has grown about but 95.6% year-on-year. So could you explain what this segment comprises and the reason for such a sharp increase in the quarter? Should we consider this increase in other segment as a one-off, or do we expect a structural improvement and sustained contribution from this segment in the coming quarters?
So, you know, the others include some of the smaller plants and smaller revenue streams and the reason why we don't put them into individual is because they were too small to put. However, going forward, as and when they continue to get larger, we will consider splitting them into their own verticals. But needless to say, yes, there is an increase in those businesses and those plants as well, and therefore that is reflected over here.
Because even Q2 26 was 22.3
yeah,
crores.
Has been a consistent.
So it's been consistently increasing. If you look at Q2 FY26, then it was 23.35.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so thank you for answering the questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Bhavish.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one now. Our next question comes from the line of Rohan Baranwal from Deep Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is on the operational highlights, right? So, looking at a presentation which has been published, so the overall installed capacity utilization is underutilized, and ignoring the incremental capacity you had in the pipes and tube segment, the capacity utilized at 30%. So, is there any challenges you are facing on the demand side or because of the steel prices?
Thank you, Rohanji, for that question. So typically in pipes and tubes and the kind of conversion business that we do, the capacities will get created before they are integrated into the customer supply chain. In our case, we have created the capacity and we are very, very confident that the customer supply chain will ramp up to that. In the best case scenario, because of the variability, the size changing, the number of SKUs, a good amount of capacity utilization would be in the range of, let's say, about 60 to 65%. So we, from here on, we can easily double the utilization, and we are fairly confident about that. On the CRM complex, like we spoke about, the volumes have started picking up and we are hopeful of meeting our long-term averages.
Got it, sir. And a follow-up question on the pipes and tubes segment only. You would be enhancing your capacity utilization to 60 to 65%. So when can we expect that? And what would be the plan for increasing this utilization? So how will we be able to scale up at this size, sir?
So there are two parts of that question, Rohanji. So one is that we had indicated that before the end of the fiscal year, we will get to about 7 lakh capacity. We are well on track to do that, and when we get together for the next quarterly con call, I'm sure I'll be able to update you on that enhancement. That is one. The second is that the capacity utilization of 60 to let's say 65%, you know, we are working with the customer to see how soon can we ramp up, what are the different bottlenecks, whether it's logistics, transportation, wherever we can help them de-bottleneck and enhance. Additionally, there are new SKUs, there are existing SKUs which are manufactured at various locations by the customer, how to rationalize that, what's the cost scenario, etc. So I don't want to put a specific number on that, but suffice to say that over the next 2 years, we hope to achieve it.
Got it, sir, got it. And sir, on the new greenfield capacity side, like on the Bokaro project, as we can see in the presentation, you have like the total project cost would be close to 800 crore. So how this capacity would be funded through, and can you also give some more highlight on the PLI scheme side as well?
So the proposed funding is already a part of the presentation, Ronji. If you see, we have indicated that 70% is debt and 30% is equity internal generations. Of that, so the 803 is actually split into two parts of 748 and I think 55 or something. The 748, the debt has already been tied up with, as I mentioned, SBI, HDFC and Yes Bank of 500 crores. And the balance we are already working on, that will be tied up as well. The consent to establish on the balance, because it involves pickling and handling of acid, took a little more time, but it's now with us and we started working on that. What was the other part of the question?
The second part of the question, can you repeat?
My second part of the question was on the side of question was mainly on the the funding of these debts, and also what would be the finance cost of these debts, sir?
I'm not sure whether I can give you an exact number, but it's very competitive. Below 8%.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, this greenfield capacity is actually focused on towards the value-added product side, like the high-margin business. So what is the incremental margin we can see from this color coating or galvalum or this galvanizing products, sir?
So, I will not get into the specific individuals, but as I've indicated, the top line growth and the bottom line growths have been broadly done. Bokaro plant will include a range of finished products, which includes galvanized, galvalum, ZAM and color coated. So it's very difficult to give you specific product wise margins. On a blended level, we've indicated 11% EBITDA and 5% PAT.
Got it, sir. Okay, so I have few more questions. I will get in the queue so that others could ask questions.
So, I'm absolutely okay to continue, Rohanji, whatever you want.
Okay, sure, sir. So, just... on the pipes and tube segment only, what would be the contract expiry for these products, sir, and how diversified the volumes are? That can you give some more lights on the customer or the product mix changes on this side, sir?
I understand your question, Rohanji, but this is a tolling business where my customer is Tata Steel.
Okay.
I don't think I can comment on Tata Steel's customers.
Got it, sir. And so what is the expected ramp-up profile for each major product line for the Bokaro plant? And how does we compare it with our internal assumptions for the IRA calculations, sir?
So again, I think, you know, between first quarter of FY27 and Q4 of FY27, all the lines will go into operation one by one. And on the specific IRR calculations, I'm not sure I can comment on that at this point here.
Okay. And sir, any guidance on the side of revenue contribution coming from Bokaro in FY27, 28 and further?
We've given a blended revenue guidance, but beyond that, I would refrain.
Got it. Okay. And is there any backward integration with the Bokaro plant, with the existing CRM or TMT operations in terms of sourcing or shared services or logistics, sir? What kind of synergies we can play on this side, sir?
I mean, in due course, we will look at optimizing on synergies, but as of now, these have not been assumed.
Thank you very much, sir. I think that answered majority of my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one. Our next follow-up question is from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So, on the Greenfield Bokaro plant, are we still on track for commissioning of phase one by April 2026? And should we expect meaningful revenues in the same quarter?
So, number one, Bhavesh, yes, we are on track. Number two, you know, considering this is a completely new business, and we will be sourcing some of our raw materials to begin with. There is a ramp-up phase. There will be meaningful revenues for me. I'm not sure as an investor if you will find it meaningful yet.
No, no, if it crosses like 200, 250, if it crosses a 20-30% mark,
I don't want to get into individual short-term kind of guidance.
I think we have given an overall guidance in
our 75%. Yeah, 75%. I agree that 75%. So to achieve that 75% next year, you should cross 1200 crores.
It's not next year, Bhavesh. It's over the next 2 years.
So it's a CAGR. It need not be exactly equal every year.
Which is why we've given a 2-year indication and not year-wise.
Because the ramp-up of capacities are going to happen over the period, right?
That's a 3-year, right? 3-year.
Yeah, whatever. With the base of FY25, it is 3 years. But if when we come to 26, it will become 2 years. So with the base of whatever guidance we are giving is given on the base of 25.
Right.
Once the project is fully commissioned, we will come back with a more precise guidance for the next financial year.
Understood. So here you will be producing a lot of products, different products. So, but I want to understand the difference between zinc, aluminum, magnesium, which is the ZAM products, and the color-coated sheets. So if I have to differentiate between two products, which will be the highest margin product? Will it be ZAM or will it be the color-coded sheets?
Come again, just the last part, please.
Highest margin between these two products, which one would it be?
So, you know, if you look at the value addition profile of the complex, the base metal is cold rolled material, which will then be converted to galvanized or galvalum or ZAM. Galvanized is zinc with some minor alloys, galvalume is a substantial amount of aluminium, and ZAM is zinc aluminium plus about 3% of magnesium. So in terms of value addition, these three, either of them can then be used as a base metal for color coating. So that becomes PPGI, PPGA or PPZAM, pre-painted all three products. And because that is the highest value addition in the plant, I mean, that kind of answers your question. The flexibility then allows us to change between the finished products to depending on whichever gets us the highest margins.
Understood, understood. This plant is being developed on your own land. So, if you could share the approximate land area in acres, so that we can get an idea how big is the land.
So, the land has been leased from the Jharkhand Industrial Area Development Authority. There are two separate plots across the road. So, the primary plant, which is a 755 crores investment, is a 40-acre plot. And the balance where the pickling and the acid regeneration facility are, that's about a 5-acre plot.
So it is not owned?
No, it's leased.
It's a long-term lease.
It's a long-term lease from the government.
That's most of the businesses manufacturing are from long-term leases only.
So in one of your calls, I remember an investor asking you about the land. So you said it is available, but I wasn't sure whether you told him about whether it is owned by the company or whether it is leased.
You can go back to that call and check,
but it's not owned by us. I doubt if I would have said it's owned by us.
Available could be either way, right?
Yeah.
So what will be the lease cost for this land?
Very detailed specific. It's difficult for me to give you exact numbers on this. You know, Bhaveji, I don't want you coming back to me 3 calls later and said ki maine galat number bata diya tha.
Sir, waisa nahi hai, but I just wanted to understand what will be the expense.
The lease prices in Jharkhand, again, this is not a land that we recently took, because the land has been with us for some time, so it will be very difficult for me exactly.
Understood. It's an old land and you are just putting like a building plant on it now. Got it. And so 40 acre land, so it's a huge project, I feel now. It's a huge land. 40 acre means...
I mean, yaar, Bhavesh ji, aapko 800 crore mein bada nahi laga, aapko 40 acre mein bada lag raha hai. Ye toh thoda sa garbad
hai na. Nahi, garbad nahi hai, sir. So 40 acre is like quite a big project, I feel now. 800 crore you are investing
there. So the
Bhuj plant will be handling close to 6 lakh tons of steel per annum, and a lot of the steel will go through multiple processes. So we need a substantial amount of land to not only move the material around, but for the facilities, for the auxiliary facilities. And we must also remember that, because of the green laws and everything, we have to have our green belt, which covers about 30% of the land as per regulation. So, yes, so there is internal movement, etc., etc. So, we do need land for...
So, this is a very long-term lease, not like 3-5 years.
These are all 30-35-year leases, which are generally renewable. In our case, it is a renewable lease. The government, in my view, does a 30-35-year lease so that people don't just take the land and hoard it. In case the investments have been made, there is genuine reasons. The government, in all the cases that I know, tends to renew it again and again.
Got it, sir. So, coming to your debt side, so when do you expect peak debt levels and how should we think about the trajectory of interest cost over the next few quarters, and what would be the expected debt to equity ratio?
So the debt on account of the Bokaro project will affect the cash flow. It will not affect the interest will affect the cash flow. It will not affect a lot of the other issues because this is all going to be capitalized.
Initially.
Okay. Please go ahead.
So now currently we are paying 5.5 crores per quarter. So can we expect this to increase to like 10 or 15 crores?
So it's very simple. Once we are fully capitalized, we will have about 500. Our project cost is 800 and 500 is debt. Right?
Correct.
On that 500 debt, we said the interest rate is sub 8%. Now you have all the data for you to understand that 500 into 8% is the...
I understood that, but But you will be getting the PLI money also, no? So
yeah, but
you
are asking interest question. Interest question has got nothing to do with the PLI question, right? They are two separate questions.
No, no. So if you get it after 1 or 2 years, some part of the money, you can just repay and get the...
So obviously, I think we are getting into
operations.
Into operational issues which are beyond my control. You know, when I get the PLI, I don't get the PLI. You are free to assume I'll get it next year. But I may not get it. I may get it after 2 years.
Okay.
So these, our guidances do not take PLIs and incentives into account for that specific reason. You know, most banks have a clause that any incentives, anything coming from the government, need to be used to pay down the loan. And like any other organization, we'll do the same. But and as and when those do come in, the debts are paid down, the interest costs will go down. We are talking about a 2 year period, and during that period, I am not qualified to comment whether the interest rate cycle will go up, it will go down, what will happen. So for me to make a detailed comment on quarterly interest costs, etc., is not fair.
Got it, sir. So last question, when do you plan to list the shares on NSE?
So we are working at it. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to give you good news soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manjari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Manjari ji.
Hi. Is my voice audible?
Yeah, very. Thank you.
Okay. So, sir, I want to ask that management previously has retained that 75% CAGR over the next 3 years, divided by the Boraco. So, please, can you quantify the expected revenue contribution like from Boraco in FY27, 28, 29 and under base?
So, Manjari ji, I just indicated that we have not given a specific Boraco and existing business breakup. We have given a blended guidance till FY28, and I would like to just stick to that.
Okay. And sir, with the shift towards input intensive downstream model, how are you planning to secure HR or sourcing, and what percentage of raw material is currently passed through versus exposed to the price volatility?
So the first question of sourcing of raw material, you know, the reason for choosing of Boraco included the proximity to Boraco steel plant. Boraco steel plant is one of the largest flat steel units in the country, which provides this kind of raw material, hot rolled coils. Also, you know, you have Jamshedpur Tata Steel, which is very close. And then you've got the steel ecosystem in Odisha, which includes Tata Steel Kalinganagar, Tata Steel Angul, JSW and Jindal Steel. So we are looking at a range of options from where one can procure hot rolled materials. And because we are not manufacturing the steel, we are not so much exposed to the volatilities beyond the inventories that we hold. The market moves for value-added materials, the market moves more in a delta fashion. So if HR prices go up, along the chain, all prices start to go up. If they go down, all prices start to go down. And so, you know, exposure to price volatility is extremely limited.
Yeah, it's limited to the stock that you already have, which you have to then convert.
Yeah, but then again, in that also, if you look at it from a longer term perspective, on an annual basis, it kind of balances out.
Okay. Sir, and over the medium term, will you see Boraco evolving into multi-product downstream hub, and like what additional investments would be needed to move up the value chain?
So, you know, as of now, Manjari ji, I think we've got a plate kind of full till FY30 to ramp up and optimize our product mix as we have indicated. So galvanized, galvalume, color-coated, and ZAM. Now going beyond 30 at this point is too far in the future to take a shot. But the first priority is to ramp up. The second priority is to optimize. And I think till FY30 we are set for that.
Okay, sir. Okay. And so is the Buraco land and infrastructure designed with future brownfield expansion in mind? And what additional CAPEX would be required to scale capacity beyond the current plan?
So the first part, yes. The second part, because I don't specifically know what kind of CAPEX I'll need, I am unable to put a price on that. Like I said, we are currently in FY26. I do not have additional CAPEX plans till FY30. I really can't put a number on that.
Okay, sir. And so based on your like management expectations and compare of downstream steel projects, what is the expected ramp up goal for Buraco in first 12 to 24 months?
So we are looking at complete ramp up by FY28, and by FY30, why I say is there will be a lot of optimizing that will happen. There will be fine tuning. There will be debottlenecking. But yes, FY28 we hope to achieve a fair bit of the ramp up.
Okay, so that would be my last question. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Madhuriji.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thanks a lot, and appreciate for joining this call on a Friday evening. Really appreciate and have a great weekend. Looking forward to the budget.
Thank you all so much for taking the time out and encouraging us like always. I look forward to seeing all of you next quarter once again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.